AM 970 here, reminding you that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. This is AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Alright. Hello there. I don't know what time it is. It's 1 minute 22 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of September in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the lushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming along, and welcome to day 12. I'm sorry, my microphone seems to have grown extra cord length while I've been gone. All right. Ow! Hello.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we're all on drugs. Oh, God. Let's all get a hold of ourselves, kids. You look hungover, whether or not you are.
I didn't have a single thing to drink yesterday.
Is that just hay fever?
I woke up this morning. My eyes are red and itchy. Like, I sound congested.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you look kind of puffy.
It's true. I don't know what's... Who gets allergies in the middle of September?
I don't know.
I do.
Yeah. You do?
Yep. I had the itchy eye thing a few days ago.
It's going to be the best show ever!
I don't have to impress you guys. I don't need to wear makeup.
No, it's true. No, we're like the married couple. We've just been together long enough. Just retain water all you want, baby.
That's why when I do get like dressed up for work, it's surprising. And
seriously,
I get compliments galore.
Now, this is the thing, because, and you guys know what I'm talking about, when sometimes a woman you work with will come to work and she looks especially nice, or maybe nice in a different way, and then you will, you know, with that, just sort of reflexively, you'll say, hey, you look nice today. And then you always wonder later if that's the right thing to say. Because, A, it implies that you're hitting on her, which you're usually not. And, B, it implies that she looks like crap the rest of the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Every other day she's not looking good.
Totally. You look nice today. Today you don't look like a sow.
Well, thanks for going opposite of that and saying I look like crap today.
You do. No, because normally you're not puffy. Not that I can see anyway.
Puffy like my face, puffy?
Yeah. Puffy not your body.
Puffy like a clown?
Yeah. Puffy like a clown.
I'm puffy like a clown? Why am you and you?
All right. That's the wrong voice for that gig.
Puffy like a clown?
That's not right either. Well, I don't know. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you would like to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's Rick@RickEmerson.com, Rick@RickEmerson.com. And my advice to you, by the way, should you ever find yourself craving solitude on a long-distance flight, my suggestion is that you fly on September 11th, because there's nobody on the plane, because it's empty, baby. I wasn't supposed to be flying this morning, but that's... And thank God for this thing, with this, Motorola Q.
I'm surprised they didn't take that away and sell it.
Dude, let me just tell you, you want to talk about it, thumbs so far up there. Look,
I'm not trying to bankrupt the airline.
They can do that themselves.
Yes,
they're not going to need our help, okay? And I'm not trying to cause rabble. No, not trying to stir, not trying to rouse the rabble. It's going to be one of those days where it's like I'm fishing around for words inside my head and I don't really know. I'm just going to plunge on ahead.
Spill them out at random.
The point. This is sort of like a word salad today. I'm just going to sort of give you all the words and you can assemble them home into a program. So I'll just sit here and say some things. Rabble. Freedom. Corpse. Rainbow. Jibbity. Shoes. Long johns. High yellow ribbon, and gumbo. There you go. You just assemble a show out of that yourself. This, no, my palm top here, my Motorola Q is like a BlackBerry. Thank God for this thing, because I was able to send everybody frantic messages last night. You know, like midnight. I've missed my flight. I don't know when I'll be home. Oh, God. And you just sort of think that flights are going nonstop. I mean, out of LAX, you don't really picture a place like Los Angeles International Airport closing. But it does.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought only that airport in Fargo closed. I've told that story before. When I went there, because I was huge in Fargo. And when I went to Fargo to do the listener party, I missed the guy from the... The guy from the air for the radio program, or the girl for the radio program, Nikki St. John, the girl with the radio name, was supposed to come pick me up, take me to the hotel, and I missed her, and then she missed me, and I was standing outside, and the guy with the broom, like Snuffy from Futurama, the guy with the broom came along, airport's closing, and like kicked me outside, and it was like December, it's like 50 below zero, and I'm standing outside in the Fargo cold, just watching the last stars go out, wondering if they're going to find me dead the next day. But LAX apparently closes, and then it reopens again at 4 a.m. I know that, by the way, because I had to be at the airport at 4:30 this morning. I've had 3.5 hours of sleep. Wah! Anyway, well, we'll talk. But enough about me. We'll talk about my flight, about the Rockstar Supernova taping, which I saw. I don't even know how many hours ago it was. It's 11 a.m. now.
Didn't it start at 11 a.m. yesterday?
No, it started at 5. Which, that's the one thing. I thought it started at 3:30.
Yeah.
Not so much. No. No, it started at 5. No, you had to be there at 4.
Did they have a warm-up comedian?
Dude, it wasn't so much a comedian as it was the O guy from Office Space. You know that O guy, imagine if you just gave him a microphone, and then you gave him a bunch of Brooke Burke calendars to pass out to the people in the audience who engaged in the most ludicrous and retarded behavior. And then if you imagine, and see, here's the thing is, if you fly down to see a Rockstar Supernova taping, you don't have to imagine it. You'll get to live through it. Imagine sitting through about 45 minutes of that guy at the front of the room while it really is just like every bad, like TRL, white guy on television cliche come to life. So there I am in the Rockstar Studios, and I'm not going to tell the whole story now. I'll tell it later. But along with the story of how it is that I came to be flying on 9/11. But it's that guy on stage, spiky, sort of flat top haircut, muscle shirt, and doing that like thing from a couple years ago, which I thought the kids had stopped doing, the U-tuck, where his shirt is all tucked in behind his belt for some reason in the front. And he's like doing a lot of... He's doing a lot of that thing where he puts his hands up in the air and then bobs them up and down as though he just doesn't care. And there's a DJ scratching House of Pain, and he's telling everybody, and everybody in the crowd, by the way, is like 38. I mean, they're all, like, I'm the youngest person there. And I think that that's probably by dint of the fact that it's like Gilby Clark and Jason Newsted, and it's like a bunch of guys from 80s bands. But yeah, the crowd is all old and wrinkly and sagging, and it's a lot of get up, y'all, whoop whoop, you know, and for like an hour, and you're just sitting there wanting the floor to open up and swallow all of you. You're praying at the moment that the big one just hits California and kills us all.
What is a woot?
A woot is a thing he did to get us pumped up, and all it succeeded in doing was just getting us all worn out. And by the time Brooke Burke came on and mangled her lines for the 9th time, and we had to applaud for. I mean, I know it goes without saying that television is all fake, and it's assembled after the fact, and nothing you see is real. But, I mean, you just have no... You don't really appreciate it. Because I don't think I've ever seen a TV show taped before. I think, well, you all probably have.
Yep.
Well, Tim, you live there. You've probably seen a million shows taped. You've been on game shows, haven't you?
I've been on sitcoms.
Have you been on The Price is Right?
No, that's only people in the Midwest.
It's only at Marines.
With saggy...
Tim just indicated bosoms that were sagging.
Midwest style.
Tim, as only bosoms from the Midwest can. Tim just said, that's for people from the Midwest with saggy. And then here's what he did. He put his hands next to his chest as though he was cupping non-sagging bosoms. And then just extended his hands out as far as they would go, like around 4 feet. And it is true. Do you ever see those women from the Midwest? And they're women that one might describe as matronly. And really, it's like their bosoms really do seem to go out like into the next county. Mm-hmm. And you do wonder how that all works. Like
how do they make these pies for the county fair?
Oh, you mean actual pies?
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were talking about there. And you wonder like how the engineering works on that bra. when your breasts go out like 5 feet and were they always that large? Like, do women, Sarah, you might know this being a woman, do women have a second growth spurt or something in that area of their bodies when they get to be a certain age? You know what I'm talking about.
What, like puberty?
No, I'm not. No, because puberty happens when you are pubescent. I'm saying
that would be the first.
You know what I'm talking about. You see those women who are in their 50s, and it's just, and it's like the bosoms that ate Chicago. They're huge. I mean, they're massive.
I don't know.
And I don't mean this in a perverse, leering way, because these are women that one doesn't really leer at anymore. But I'm just saying it. They're just gargantuan, and I.
So you're asking me about my knowledge of 50-year-old women's breasts?
I'm saying you're a woman. Have they prepared you? Did they give you a speech? Now, these are going to grow again someday. Now, just be prepared.
No, they have not.
All right.
I really have no idea.
You're not even listening, are you?
And now back to the trip to L.A.
You might, when it comes up to the boob talk, you know I'm out of it.
See, but that doesn't make any sense. We're not even talking about breastfeeding. Although, I do have a breastfeeding story for you. Yeah. And it's flagged Attention Sarah Dillon, so we can't miss it. Well, all right, then. Anywho. So it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is September 11th. Whatnot. We're not going to dwell, though. We're not going to dwell. Life is for the living. So we'll have a few news stories, a few things from CNN and so forth, and we'll plunge on with a lot of our regular crap today. Let me find the sounder for our good friend Chris. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Mailman Chris.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
All right, hello, sir. How are you?
Sound like I'm doing better than you.
Oh, it's fine. I'm back on, as Susan Reynolds was saying this morning, I'm back on the terra firma. I am back here. So last night around this time, I was almost doing okay again because there was a hotel that had 99-cent margaritas. Except it wasn't so much a hotel. It wasn't so much a hotel that I stayed at last night as it was a hostel in Inglewood, which is the best thing ever.
Oh.
I don't even remember what it was called. It was called the bars on the window, hide under your bed hostel.
Inglewood is like one big junkyard. That's where all the cars get towed to in L.A.
It was the worst. It was so bad. You can't. Well, you probably can. God. So close to the flight pattern that was rattling the windows every... What is that line from the Blues Brothers? How often does the train go by? So often you won't even notice it. That's kind of was with the flight pattern last night. God damn. All right. How are you, sir?
I'm not doing too bad.
Are you delivering the mail today? Is today a federal holiday?
No, it's not.
Well,
this is a commemoration of another day.
But here's the thing.
Are you choking on airplane air?
I am. And you know what? That cough had vanished. It was gone.
Smog.
That's exactly what it is.
A couple days.
So because I'm cultured, because I'm a sophisticate, I was walking around a swap meet this weekend. Well, we had to kill time before we went to CBS, and it was that...
Oh, the Fairfax swap meet.
Yeah, because...
The farmer's market.
Yeah, exactly.
Right across the street from the Farmer's Daughter Motel.
Exactly. The farmer's market. We tried to stay at the Farmer's Daughter Hotel, but it was all booked up. So we ended up staying elsewhere.
All the Price's Right people stay there.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Anywho, what was I saying? Oh, but man, I walked around L.A., and it's like I was over the cough. But then right as we were at the swap meet, walking around, and it's like you sort of felt that telltale like that. And suddenly you, oh, God. And you can't figure out why you're coughing. And then you sort of, look up and you see that thick layer of brown crap that you... And I'm not saying anything that anybody who's been to L.A. doesn't know. But, when you fly into the city, that's the most terrifying part, is when you fly through the smog and you realize, like, have you been to L.A., sir?
No, I've always wanted to go. But.
You'll get this experience for the first time. When you fly into L.A.
They're working with the Chamber of Commerce today.
And there is attention. They really ought to pay me for this. There's a thick layer of smog over the city. And imagine just a thick brown cloud. And you fly through it, and it's actually rust-colored, and it's so thick you can't see anything. And you realize people breathe this. And then when you're down, everybody knows this. When you're in L.A., in the Hollywood area, you look around, and it's like... there are places where the smog is so thick, it obscures the Hollywood sign, it obscures hills, and you're breathing it. I mean, I would be curious to know what the lung cancer rate in L.A. is compared to the rest of the world. God. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. All right, Chris. So here's the, oh, here's why I was asking if it's a federal holiday today. Because I was looking. I'm a Franklin Covey guy. As everybody knows, I'm a slave to my Franklin planner because I'm all anal retentive and whatnot. And I was looking at my Franklin planner today because I knew I was going to be late because I missed my flight last night and da-da-da-da. So I was looking at my planner today to make sure it wasn't any early morning meetings I was going to have to reschedule. And so, you know, when you look at a calendar and certain dates are in bold and then it'll say like Christmas or, you know, or like Hanukkah. Today is in bold in the Franklin Planner calendar. The 9/11 is bold. And then where it has the holiday notation, it says Patriot Day. Now, when did that happen? I'll go get on my desk and show it to you. It's the creepiest thing.
There used to be a Patriot's Day.
No. Yeah, according to the Franklin Covey Corporation, this is Patriot Day.
I believe, I'm trying to remember, I think that on the first anniversary, Bush declared it Patriot Day. And I don't remember closing.
He forgot to turn it off, and so now it just continues.
It's not been, it's kind of like when people refer to Pearl, you know, the day Pearl Harbor was attacked. They refer to that as a national day of remembrance,
right.
But it's not a holiday.
Yeah, it's just weird to me. I mean, again, I'm not opposed to patriotism. The whole thing's just a little unnerving, though. All right.
Before you get to the teasing, yeah. I did need to, since I couldn't get on there Friday afternoon, there's some unpleasantness there at the end of the evening. I don't know. Did we decide it was a push on Friday?
On Friday, I don't even remember Friday's show. Friday's show was just such a cluster bomb. Let's call it that.
Of the things you teased, which you teased like 11 items, you got to 10 of them. You didn't get to the clown watch, but Scotty J did also mention like 5 other items, which he got to all of them.
Yeah.
So.
And I think really, let's be honest here. I think I was doing the show Friday. It was sort of like doing the show. Like with my legs tied together. You know, it's like one of those three-legged races. Doing this show on Friday, I think I was really doing it with a ball and chain around my ankle. Let's call a spade, shall we?
So we'll just call it a push?
Thank you,
okay.
Sir. All right. Here's what we're going to do today. We got, let's see, we have a clown watch today, corpse watch, hick watch. We will talk to Gary Baumgarten, who is in New York City on this 9/11. I'll do the recap of being at the Rockstar Supernova taping. And we'll talk to our good friend Clyde Lewis. And real briefly, we won't be very long because I don't know a whole lot about the guy. But we will briefly later on in the show talk to Dick Dale, who's I think he's in the Doug Fern. I think it's tonight actually that he's playing there. And he's a guy I don't know a whole lot about. I mean, I really only know the same handful of songs by that guy that everybody else knows. But it's like there's a guy who works in the building with us, our friend Tim Ryan. who's like, hey, I'm friends with Dick. He used to work for him, and he's like, you want 5 minutes with Dick Dale? And I'm like, do I ever? So that'll be up later on. So that's what we got today, my friend.
All right, I've got a clown watch, corpse watch, a hick watch, Gary Baumgarten, Rockstar the Clyde Lewis, and Dick Dale.
Yes, there you go, sir.
All right,
we will check in with you at the end of the program. Thank you, Chris.
Will do. Talk to you later.
Right, there you go. Thank you. All right, we're joined today, as always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing?
I'm doing well. The Soapbox Derby went well.
Yeah.
It was a good weekend.
Yeah. All right. No injuries? Anybody die? Anybody?
No death. No destruction.
That's too bad.
Really well.
Nobody turned over?
Nobody flipped? Oh, no, wait. There were two girls. There were three girls' teams, I believe, including ours. And both of the other girls' teams flipped.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so one of them was a roller skate, the other one was a bathtub, and they both crashed.
Was it a real bathtub?
Yeah.
Oh, that seems like a bad... That seems like it's either going to protect you or kill you.
Those girls had... They were messed up.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've seen them afterward. They all were scraped. I'm sorry?
Permanently disfigured?
Not permanently, I don't think. But they were, if they had tattoos, those things would have been gone.
Now, because you were all dressed in wedding gowns or something?
Yeah, we had like our little like fluffy skirts and wife beaters and wore veils.
Excellent.
It was a lot of fun.
Is there video? Is there photos?
There's video of us going down the hill. It looks a lot faster when you're watching it than it feels when you're in there.
Well, how fast do you go? We never figured out how fast you go down the hill when you're
I know it's a little over a mile to the bottom of Mount Tabor, and our best time was 2.5 minutes.
Excellent. All right. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Scientists continue to watch a volcanic bulge near Sisters. Tony Blair leaves the booing crowds of Britain to find booing crowds elsewhere. Soviet weather experts will stop the rain for a Madonna concert. And Texas honors the crocodile hunter.
Okay, there you go. They're stopping the rain for what?
For a Madonna concert.
All right, just checking. Let's see. And we got some other things to get to, but I don't want to bother. We're going to try to talk to Peter Carlin later on and so forth. Yeah, see, right there, it's like on the inhale, you can just feel that this is like the Detroit, the remnants of the L.A. Because the problem, and you're right about that Fairfax swap meet, the farmers market thing. Because we had to park at CBS, and it was that awkward period of time, because everything in L.A. takes so long to get to. Because everything, it's like one big suburb, but it's just spread out over so many hundreds of square miles, connected by, man, and we took our GPS, we call it Ken because it's the kid speaks with an Australian accent, and when you go through the menu, you pick the different voices on the GPS, and we settled on an Australian guy named Ken. But we took Ken, our GPS, and man, we would have been so, and Lars got a good sense of direction, but we would have been so screwed without that thing. I mean, just so unbelievably, because LA is just so difficult to get around in sometimes. But pardon me. But at one point, we were in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And there's a straight shot where you're in the middle of the cemetery and you look up towards the Hollywood sign. And I looked up just in time to literally see like a brown cloud of smog just sort of jauntily blowing by. And you realize that if there's smog up there, it really is just that it's all around you. You really are kind of soaking in it, Palm Olive style. That's okay. It's not a thing to dwell on. Well, before we get too behind, let's do this. Let's go to the city desk. We'll do a few. We'll come back. We got Jim Roop from Los Angeles, actually, coming to the bottom of the hour. I'll talk about airport security. That'll be a good opportunity to do that. And then we'll talk about the taping of Rockstar Supernova, which was surprising in a whole lot of ways, actually. So, ladies and gentlemen, without fail, let's go to the man you've really come here to hear. It's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Dead birds have been found. Yes, two dead crows and jays have been found in Multnomah County, and they tested positive for the West Nile virus.
There were West Nile signs all over Los Angeles, everywhere I went, especially, and this is creepy, especially in the cemetery. You walk through the cemetery, and they were just on every pole, on every light thing, you know, on every fixture. There was like, we have found West Nile. Run for your lives. It was all very terrifying.
Well, apparently, they're cautioning children not to play with magpies or jays or crows. Avoid playing or working outside at dawn and dusk. Wear long pants.
Stay in your home.
Long sleeve shirts and other protective clothing.
All is well.
Less than 1% of individuals will develop brain or nervous system illnesses, but it could be you. Should you have any questions about dead birds,
should your child...
the Dead Bird Operations Center at 503-988-NILE.
Should your child be found halfway through a dead egret? Okay, there you go. I think if your child is stuffing dead birds into an open wound on his body, your family has bigger issues to deal with.
Yank your eyeballs, right?
Seriously. Is that secure? Could you use a good pecking, if that's the case? Oh, God.
All right. Portland TV personality Ken Ackerman has won $1.4 million in injury lawsuit against the doctors at OHSU. And that, and he gets, $412,000 plus $1 million.
Hold on, don't tell me. Is this, first of all, somebody told me that Kent Brockman is based on Ken Ackerman. Kent Brockman on The Simpsons. Did anybody know if that's true?
No. He's based on Hal Fishman, who's at KTLA.
Is Hal Fishman a real person? Really?
Yeah, he's award-winning Hal Fishman with the KTLA 10 o'clock news.
Okay. I think it's great that you know that. Hal Fishman sounds like a made-up news person.
Yeah, he's been there forever.
Let's see.
And the guy he works with has been there, Stan Chambers, has been at the same job since 1949. He holds the longest job in broadcasting.
You know, L.A. is just a whole bizarre city, especially in terms of broadcasting. You kind of forget what different cities sound like, and yet how many cliches are just the same no matter where you go.
From the desert to the sea is my favorite one.
That, I listen to a lot of talk radio. The only two things I listen to there, I listen to talk radio, and then if I'm listening to music there, which is very rare, but I'll either listen to KLOS, or I'll listen to K-Day. And K-Day is great because K-Day is a station that it really sounds like Los Angeles, and it panders to guys like me because it's hip-hop for guys who are like 50 years old. And I've talked about K-Day before. It's great. It's got that whole hip-hop from today and back in the day. And so Laura and I driving along in our rented, God, I can't even remember what the hell car we had. It was some retarded car we'd never heard of before. It was not retarded, but it wasn't a car we should be driving. It was clearly for sportier individuals than ourselves. But so we're driving along in like our rented hatchback, thumping along to KDAY, listening to Digital Underground songs and pretending that we're 12. It's all so strange.
No, we're talking about Ken Ackerman, who worked here. Yes.
Okay, so is this a plastic surgery mishap?
No, this is some other, he had surgery.
Had a plastic ass put on.
Let's see, he has constant pain in his right arm and most of his motor skills in his right hand, so he had arm surgery of some sort. Oh. And he used to work at Channel 12, and then he went to Channel 2, and his lawyer says he can't type or even button his shirt with his arm, so I guess he needs some sweet young thing like an intern to do this for him now.
to give him a long rub down.
And his lawyer presented a video showing him in his former life skiing and rock climbing.
That's so sad.
With the Top Gun soundtrack playing in the background. Danger Zone.
No, are you
this
kidding?
This will give you an idea of what he could do before surgery. Yeah.
Okay. He had all my sympathy there for a minute, and then now it's gone. All right. So is it that OHSU did this to him?
Apparently so, yes. He feels that they're guilty of some sort of malpractice.
Did they confuse fix injury with cut all tendons?
I don't know, but he got $1.4 million.
There you go. You know, I think if I lost all the muscle skills...
Well, I think they're probably paying more attention to constructing that tramway now than they are operating on their feet.
Boy, does that thing look like some weird IMP structure or whatever? It's the most bizarre shape. I don't even really know what the tram is going to be. Is that just going to be like a ski lift? Or are they going
to
be like...
It's to take people to the hospital.
I understand
that. You won't need an ambulance anymore.
No, but I'm saying they'll just hook you up there. Is it... but, I mean, are they going to be cars, or are they going to be... is it going to be like a monorail, or...
I'm not sure, maybe...
I'm so unclear about
this. A luncheon car or something?
As a final note here before we break, it'll be a Pullman berth. I think if I lost all the motor skills in my hand, I would just... I mean, if you can't use your hand anyway, wouldn't you just go with a hook? Just for the comedy and the shock value of it, just so you can terrify children.
He's an anchorman.
Totally. But imagine how great he would look, waving and gesticulating to make some particularly angry point about... Like, and the thing is, you'd keep the hook down below the counter so people didn't really know it, so they couldn't see it coming.
Well, all he needs is like a pirate hat.
When he wanted to bring his point into stark relief, he would say... And this is the sort of thing that is ruining our society! And then the hook comes up from behind the counter, and he waves the hook angrily at the camera. That's a 50 share. Hey, on that note, we're going to go out on a high there. We're going to take a break, because that's funny, is what that is. That's humor. Oh, good God. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show. Jim Roop from Los Angeles coming on. More of your phone calls. We're live. Don't go anywhere. Have some injury or something?
Not that I know of. She's always kind of injured in one way or another.
Thank you all for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up here in just a few, we got Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Who I think actually we should have like now. I think Jim's just lost the ability to tell time. All right. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It is Monday. Coming up later on, Gary Baumgarten will join us. Also, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy at 1 o'clock. We got Clyde Lewis with News of Ground Zero. Peter Carlin. We'll do the Rockstar taping recap, the top five, and then a few minutes with Dick Dale later on. Let's get a couple of these here, and then we'll talk. Hello. Brad, what's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, I just wanted a quick shout-out to Swap Porn, the three clowns on the couch for giving me my life back.
Oh, this is the suave porn is, that's what we, what did we figure out that was called? It was an anagram. It was an anagram. That's what the kids on the message board were calling Supernova, yeah.
And, by having Storm go home early, my life has been returned to me, no longer am I late.
Well, see, and so we gotta follow it through like this, this week anyway, because we're so invested in having to get to the end where Delana cries. That's really what it's all about to me.
Well, you know, that might be.
It is. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like today is Monday. I was at the taping last night. It airs tomorrow. And then there's Wednesday. And so within 48 hours, I will be free. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. That's it.
Quick note. I know Ackerman pretty well. And couple of interesting things. OHSU is a government-run sort of hospital, owned, so their maximum liability is $200,000 on any malpractice suit. So they have a history of screwing things up and then cutting deals with people for substantially less than
why is it,
what the deal is.
Really, why would you... Let me ask you this. If you really had the option of where to go for your medical care, why would you choose a place that had carefully negotiated their liability cap in advance?
Well, theoretically now, from the other side, if you're a doctor, if you're a brilliant surgeon, where would you want to work?
Well, I suppose that is true. I suppose that does make sense. No,
so
that's a fair point.
Theoretically, the guy who was doing the surgery was quite good, you know, but didn't quite spell out that we're going to relieve the little pain in your neck and back that's potentially paralyzing you.
That was just sort of, that's in the very, very, very fine print on the back.
It's a little like signing the mortgage thing. After the 15th page of signing, you could say, yeah, whatever.
No, it's absolutely true. So what is the deal? So he just got the Bob Dole, like, claw hand?
Not a little, but, you know, just through hard work, but, you know, this is my opinion and is not representing the Rick Emerson Show and or
of course
CBS Radio.
Sure.
Dumbag lawyer for OHSU made the comment in court that, yeah, we saw him shake hands with somebody on the TV show. So not nearly as hurt as he reports. Well, I'm up at his house trying to diaper his new baby boy and can't move his left side.
That's
barely hold his child. He's doing, you know, substantially better, but you know, it's still a long way from getting to 1.2, and you got to figure the attorney
All right. Okay. Well, pass along my idea that he used the hook. Just pay if you talk
absolutely
to him. Just tell him. I mean, at least for Halloween or something. I feel that's
he's actually moved to a much more secure and lucrative business. He's selling commercial real estate.
Excellent.
Now.
Excellent. Well done. All right. Thank you, sir.
See ya.
All right. There you go. Yeah. Everybody who's in the media eventually just moves into real estate. Yeah. That's where all the stability is. All right. So I should take it. We'll talk to Jim Roop here in a while. Coming up later on, we have the AM 1170 Noon News Hour with Tim Riley. We got Peter Carlin. We got the Top 5. We got the Gary Baumgarten, et cetera. And Clyde Lewis will be up at 12:32. So I don't get behind, because here's what I don't want. Because if I don't talk about it now, I'm going to get behind, and then it's going to be like 2:40, and I'm going to be trying to fit in the whole story about everything. So I'll talk about the Rockstar Supernova taping here in just a few. But I should note this. I should say that if you're planning on flying any time, because I think I'm the first person from the show to fly since all the new regulations were put into place. And I got to tell you this, I know that I run the risk of just going on and on about this stuff, about airport security and about some guy poking through your luggage and some minimum wage pawing around through your belongings and your possessions. But you really just have no idea how intrusive it feels until you see a guy, until you see happen to you what happened to us this morning, which is literally the guy with the big tub full of stuff that belongs to you and then just sort of tilting it and pouring it into the trash. That's a good feeling. And it's like, and I look, and part of it is, I don't want to say it's our own fault as such, but I mean, we just didn't have any choice, because here's what happened. So I was supposed to be flying home last night. I was supposed to catch my flight last night late. We go to the Rockstar Supernova taping, and the deal is, at a certain point, they're sketchy about letting you in or letting you out, one, because it's, I think they have to be that way, because I think what they don't want is a lot of people showing up to, like, you know, to cheer for Toby, and then as soon as he performs, they leave. So there's a bunch of big burly guys by the door sort of making sure that, you know, that there isn't just an exodus after every performance, which otherwise I think that there probably would be. So we end up staying to the whole thing. And then it's just, you know, it's like that whole Jack Lemmon out-of-towners comedy of errors where we're trying to get to the airport. And you know that feeling, too, when it's like you get the timer strapped to the side of your head and you could just, it's just ticking down the minutes one by one by one. And you just know that you're not going to make it. And you're doing everything, you're speeding and you're like whipping between cars on the highway. And of course, even in the best of circumstances, in the best of situations, LA traffic, it just makes you want to kill yourself. I mean, it's just, and it's not even, because it's not, it doesn't even seem to be overly congested the way that, like, New York traffic is. It's just congested enough you can't really, like, get where you want to get to. And I see that we've got Jim Roop here, so we'll bring him on in just a moment. We'll actually talk to him about this. This is a good opportunity to sort of segue. But, anyway, so we're on the freeway, and of course I'm doing the thing that we have all done our whole lives ever since we fly, where you count backward from when the flight departs. And so our flight took off, was supposed to take off at like 9 o'clock or something. And so you're thinking, okay, 9 o'clock, I got to be there at, 8. You know, and then you figure the travel time and so forth. But the thing is, it's not what I did. What I did not know, but what I discovered last night is, it is now no longer like it used to be after 9/11 that they said, like in the last 5 years or so, that you should be there 2 hours before your flight takes off. But nobody really pays any attention to that. Here's the thing: we have now entered this zone where you no longer have any choice about being there 2 hours ahead of time, at least at certain airports, because what I discovered last night is that. And maybe this is only the case with United Airlines, who have, by the way, probably the worst customer service that I have ever encountered in my entire life. My 33 years upon this planet, and I've been treated badly by a whole host of businesses. I got all kinds of companies that have treated me rudely as though my dollars didn't count. I would say United is at the top of that particular dung heap. I was informed last night that United now just closes the plane about an hour beforehand. No one else can get on. That's it. That's it. Doesn't matter. You get there with 45 minutes to spare. Doesn't matter. You're not getting on the plane. And I know that that's not, by the way, I know that's not a federal regulation, and I know it's not a TSA regulation, because I know that because I am cheap, I fly Southwest a lot, and I know that Southwest still only does it 10 minutes before the plane takes off. United, no real reason, just to make things inconvenient. Just as a final little squeeze on my junk there, you know? Just to make life more complex. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles, home of my recent 24 hours of living hell, Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
God damn, man.
What happened, man?
Jesus. By the way, I tried to come and see you this weekend, and then I forgot. I got distracted by a flea market. So I meant to come see the CNN building, but I got distracted by the swap meet on Fairfax.
Oh, I really wish you would have called.
Well, I was going to, but then I don't want to just drop in unannounced.
It's not unannounced. I knew you were coming.
Well, here's a dumb question. Are you at that building, the building with the big CNN sign at the top of it? This sounds like a silly question, but who knows?
When I'm... For instance, like now, yeah.
All right. Not for instance, yesterday.
Usually, I'm out in the field. Usually.
All right. So yeah, we were in L.A. Saturday and Sunday, and Saturday we didn't really have any time. Sunday we had some time, and then we forgot, and then we were there to see a TV show being taped. We didn't see a Rockstar Supernova being taped, and then it was just a comedy of errors. So we got out of the taping late. We got to LAX, and I got to tell you, man. Look, I'm not holding you personally responsible for this, but I have to say, I don't know when they decided that it was a good idea to start closing up the plane 45 minutes before it takes off. I mean, the best part is that they have absolutely no rationale or explanation for it, and that all of the airlines aren't doing it. Maybe some of them are, some of them are not. I know that United is doing it. And here's the worst kind, and then I swear to God, we'll actually talk about stuff and news and things. You know, of all the kinds of bad customer service, I mean, there's customer service by some teenager who's just sullen. There's customer service by a guy who had a fight with his wife, and so he's taking it out on you. There's bad customer service from a guy who's drunk. There's bad customer service from a guy who can't really help you even if he wanted to because he's in Calcutta and has only a passing relationship with the English language. And then there's the bad customer service that you get from, say, the phone company back in the day, or, an airline, or the DMV, and you know exactly what kind of customer service I'm talking about. It's the, I don't need to help you, I don't need to lift a finger, I don't even need to extend to you common courtesy or politeness, because there's nowhere else you can go.
That's true.
That's it, man. I mean, it's the type of bad customer service that you can really only get from a monopoly.
And if you said, well, I'll go to Amtrak, they'd just laugh at you.
Oh, God. No, it was so bad, actually. And the phone service was exactly the same. The phone service for an airline is even worse, because they know that not only do they not have to help you, they know that they're completely insulated from you and that there's no way you could track them down or find them. Like, at least at the... Not that I would ever do this, but at least at the airport, they know that there's a slight chance that if you really had enough and it had a particular... particularly bad day and a particularly short fuse, you might just go over the counter at him. You know what I mean?
Well, what precipitated all of this?
Oh, God. So we were late getting to the airport, and again, I'm not trying to blame anybody else for that. It is just sort of L.A. traffic, and we estimated, and we allowed ourselves a lot of time, too, because we've driven in that city a lot. But it was just one thing after another. We returned the rental car. I get to the rental car place. We're dropping off our rental car. And just as we're dropping off the car, I see the shuttle, like, pulling out of the rental car lot and leaving. No. So I do the full-on O.J. Simpson. I run after the shuttle, and I flag the shuttle down. I'm all, hold up. And he rolls down the window. I'm like, we're going to LAX. Can you help us? And he's like, well, what do you want? I'm like, my wife's getting the luggage out of the car. We'll be here in like 30 seconds. I'm like, I'll give you a huge tip. Don't go anywhere. We'll be here on the shuttle in just a moment. And he looks and he goes, well, I don't think so. And then he just drives off. It was pretty great, actually. That was almost amusing in just its perversity. That he just sort of, like, it was like he didn't just say no reflexively. He sort of contemplated it for a minute. And then it was like, no. And then he drives off. So then we're waiting for the next shuttle, and we get there, and the plane took off at like 9, and we got there, and we got to the check-in counter at 8:15, and I'm thinking, you know what? 45 minutes, man. That's not too bad. We're cutting a little close. Got to get through security. 45 minutes. And that's when we get to the front, and they, you know, and we go to check in, and the woman just says, what's your name? We get her name, we give her the ID, and she goes, oh no, you're not making that plane. And we're like, no, it's 45 minutes. She goes, no, the plane's already shut. And we're like, well, why? Why is the plane closed? Well, we close all the planes 45 minutes beforehand. Well, why? Well, that's just the way we do it. And that, of course, as anybody knows me knows, that is the answer that is going to set me off the most. When I get the answer that is, well, that's just the way we do it. Because that just means that there's really no rationale, there's no reason, there's no foundation for that. It's just something they do to F with you. Just a little reminder that you don't have as much freedom as you thought you did.
And what airline is this again?
It was United.
Okay.
United. Anyway, and then there's the security check-in and all of that crap. Which, by the way, and that's what you're talking, because you're not at the airport today, you're talking to just folks about, you know, about how they feel about everything.
Yeah.
But I know they've had you at LAX recently.
Yes,
and
last week.
Let me just tell you this. I brought this with me. This is my wife's, but I brought it with me here. I will tap this against the microphone here. You hear that there? You know what that is? That's a little bit of liquid makeup. That's some liquid makeup, by the way, that we took all the way through security in our pocket. It took all the way through. I had some shave oil. My wife had some makeup. We both walked all the way through security, and quite unconsciously. It was not a thing we intended to do. But we walked all the way through security, all the way through the x-ray. They threw away my toothpaste. They threw away, let's see, I sound like a girl here, but like some $12 hair product. They threw away my wife's saline solution. And yet, this, we just walked all the way through it. Never caught it, never spotted it, didn't notice it, nothing. So,
jeez.
There you go. So keeping the skies safe.
My gosh.
It's just been one of those, it's been one of those days, Jim Roop.
It is a cluster. It's bad.
It really is. No, and the thing is, not only is it inefficient, not only does it take a long time, but when my wife and I both get to the other side of security and we realize that we both just absolutely, completely walked through security and onto the plane with prohibited items, that's the worst part of all. That's the very worst moment of the entire thing, because you realize that it's all pointless. That you're being delayed and spoken to badly and treated rudely for no readily apparent reason.
Good job.
So there you go. So that's how my flight went.
I apologize for
that's okay.
The airline.
No. Okay, it's not just LAX. I mean, Portland is exactly the same way. Portland's actually worse because Portland is a much smaller city, a much smaller airline, and so there's actually much less reason for them to even be that way. So I wouldn't worry about it. So you guys, I'm not going to say it doesn't affect you guys, but I can't imagine people in LA are all jacked up about this the same way the people on the East Coast are.
Well, I mean, people here, it rolls off their backs a little easier. You know what I mean?
Is it just because,
I think it's just because nobody really gives a crap anymore.
Is it, when you say, I mean, just in general or just about this, or?
Just about this. I mean, you're talking about the airline thing.
Well, not only that, but I mean, 9/11, I mean, because I know that we're talking to Baumgarten later on, and,
People here are definitely nervous. I can guarantee you that. They know something's going to happen. They just don't know when. And LA's too vulnerable. Not just the airport, but the seaport specifically.
Well, I remember reading something after 9/11 where they talked about there was 5 billion packages that come into the seaport or something every day, and there was like 5 guys to check them all.
Yeah.
You know, there's that, and plus you guys...
Some of them are asleep.
Well, well, that's the other thing. God, not to go back to the airline thing again, but I mean, I know it's going to be a constant theme woven through today's program, so I'm just going to roll with it. That's the worst part, by the way, is when you realize that your luggage is being checked by people, I mean, who really probably couldn't secure a couch in the living room. You know what I mean? just not the brightest people on earth. This is something that happens to me constantly, and this is my favorite. If you want a microcosm of the whole thing, this is me at LAX this morning. And here's the reason I'm talking about this. Not because I'm just bitching about some stuff that happened to me this morning, but just because I can tell that it's not just a 9/11 thing. It's not just because I flew this morning on 9/11. This is clearly a thing that everybody is going to have to go through. I was telling Sarah this, that, like, You just prepare to have a bunch of your crap taken and tossed away.
Yeah.
And the very worst part is that I am a non-aggressive person, really, in real life. You know, and just walking around in my daily existence, I don't go around looking for fights. I don't go around starting trouble with people. But, man, I got to tell you, when the guy is taking my Tom's of Maine toothpaste and he's waving it in front of my face as though I was trying to pull one over on him, right? Like I'm I'm Lex Luthor. You're trying to smuggle a doomsday device to the airport. When he sort of waves it in my face and then just sort of turns in one fluid motion and tosses it into a trash can. And, you know, and followed by several items. And you just get that, like, urge just to punch a guy right in the face. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Especially because you realize that your crap is being searched by people who really don't know what they're doing. And so as we're going through, and this is actually one of the moments where I put my shave oil, which is a liquid, I put it right through the x-ray machine. They looked at it. They saw it. They never batted an eye. So I empty my pockets into that little, the coin tray, the little bowl that you put through. So into the bowl, I put my, it's like my cue. It's like a BlackBerry. I put that. I put my wallet. I put my money clip, and I put my shave oil and my, you know, my change. It all goes through. The shave oil, which again is a liquid, is sitting right next to my money clip, which has like my money in it. They're looking at the monitor. They're looking at the fact that I'm putting a huge bottle of liquid through the x-ray machine. That they don't care about. What does the woman say to me? She says, in that particular tone of voice that implies that she's a really dumb woman trying to sound really smart and authoritative, and she says, "Sir, don't put your money through the machine." And I said, "Pardon me?" And she goes, "Don't put your money through the machine. You got to keep it safe." And I said, I trust you to keep it safe, ma'am. And she goes, "I can't guarantee that your money will be safe. Somebody might steal it. Keep it." And I said, "What does the S in Jim Roop, what does the S in TSA stand
for?" Security.
Security! They're telling me that they can't keep $10 in singles safe and it's 5 friggin' feet in front of them. That's the thing. And meanwhile, as I've noted, the money clip, which they're saying they can't keep safe, is 2 inches away from a gigantic bottle of liquid, which goes all the way through the machine, which I just pick up on the other side and casually put into my pocket and take onto the plane.
Wow,
so,
man.
I mean, really, it is so tempting today for me to pick up the phone and call United or to call and just tell them.
Who are you going to talk to?
It doesn't even really matter who I talk to. I just want to call the airline and say, "By the way, my wife and I quite inadvertently took a whole bunch of prohibited items on the plane this morning, but I'd like to thank you for adding security measures, which now elongated the security time by so much that I was able to miss my flight last night." So, you know, that's the thing. And I know I'm officially just going on about it and just ranting today, but you know what? Today,
you're right, too. I mean, you're ranting for Americans. Ranting for everybody who's been through that recently.
And again, because I don't think it's just a personal thing today. I think everybody who's gone through an airport in the last 5 years, everybody who has flown since this stupid ban on liquids has gone through this. And especially when you consider that it is, as Christopher Hitchens said, it is the maximum inconvenience for the minimum safety. Because at no point did I feel like any of this was making me any safer. I'm also a little put out because since I missed my flight last night, I had to stay an extra night in Los Angeles, and I did not end up staying at a hotel. I ended up staying at a hostel in Inglewood. So.
Oh, no.
So then you know what I'm talking about. It was really...
Any sleep?
No, hell no. Are you kidding? No, the bars on the window and an air conditioner that's not so much an air conditioner as it just is like a thing that rattles and pushes the air around
a
lot.
It's an air blower.
It's an air blower,
yeah.
And it's one of those air conditioners that makes that noise. It's like you feel like there's a piece of metal loose inside, and it's just a lot of... 2 feet away from the bed, doing nothing to actually cool the room. A mattress and a blanket that seemed designed really just to give maximum scratchiness and abrasion.
Not let you.
You know that one blanket that they have in all hotel rooms, and it's either gray or gold colored, and it's like sort of a velour.
Yeah.
This is several hundred notches below that. This is not so much a velour as it is like a burlap kind of a feel.
Like an old Navy blanket.
Seriously, a shower that appears just to have been like a fire hose attached to the wall. I swear to God, man, I turned on the shower and it about blew me off my feet. It was like a bad Jim Carrey movie where I'm having to fight my way towards the nozzle to try to turn it down. I can feel it taking layers of my epidermis off as I'm trying to get close enough to the nozzle to redirect it. And then, again, yes, and I'm at a hostel in Inglewood, right underneath one of the flight paths, of course.
This is just... bad, man.
And so Scotty J, our call screener here, is noting that he says, Osama was right. His coordinated 9/11 attacks have made our miserable lives even more inconvenienced and so forth. And really is, this has got to be screwing the LAX, the shops and the businesses there, hasn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, you can't go wait for somebody at the airport anymore and have a drink, have dinner, whatever. Plus, since people can't take food and drink onto the plane with them really anymore, the shops aren't selling anything.
Well, that's the other thing. This, by the way, is the most telling point of all of this. And if I sound a little discombobulated today, it's just because I'm kind of under-rested and over-caffeinated, and so it's just one of those days. And I know that we're officially just sort of just going all over the map here today. But since you cover LAX, you might like to know that this, as you are probably aware, is the actual, this is the final and prima facie indication that even they know it's pointless, all of this security.
Yeah.
So you go through security, they make you throw away your water, they make you throw away your liquids, except those that they don't notice you're carrying through. And then you get to what they call the sterile zone. And the sterile zone is after security, but before you get on the plane. Well, of course, after security, before you get on the plane, there's a whole bunch of little shops and restaurants. And, you know, you can buy bottles of water, Starbucks, whatever. As you're getting on the plane, they make you throw away all of the food and beverages that you actually bought in the sterile zone post-security, which is, of course, their acknowledgement that they do not trust their own security enough to let you bring on something that you just bought 10 feet away. So there you go.
Yeah. That was an argument I had not too long ago when I was flying. I said, you got to be kidding me. I just bought this at that stand. I was flying out of Burbank Airport, for cripe's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be kidding me. I just bought this right over there.
That's the thing.
It's the rule, sir.
And it's after you have already gone through security. Yeah. And, you know, and you kind of know that there's no point in arguing with them about it, too. The single best moment of last night, as we had missed our flight and we were desperately trying to catch the next flight so we could get home last night, was... And we're looking at our watch because the woman's like, well, you've missed your flight, but there's another one that's going to hit San Francisco and then Portland if you can get on that plane within 12 minutes. And so we go down to the counter and we're looking at our watches, watching the 12 minutes tick away. And the woman behind the counter says, well, I have to go on break now, but somebody else will be along. And then she closes the window. Like when you go to the bank and it's like, the next window, please. Yeah. There you go. Good times.
I'm blown up at that point.
Don't use the words blown up when you're talking about
Yeah, you're right.
All right, Jim Roop. Well, I appreciate you letting me vent here today. We are going to talk about 9/11 and all that, but you know what? It doesn't. It's pointless.
Jeez.
It's pointless. I had to seethe to somebody about LAX, and I knew you were the man, my friend.
Well, I sympathize, and I understand exactly what you're saying.
Hey, sometime we got to talk about the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. What a weird place that
is. Okay. All right.
All right, brother. Well, I'll tell you what. Get through the rest of the day. Talk to people. Take the pulse as you do. And the next time I'm in L.A., I'll come see you in that building.
You got a promise.
All right. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. That's Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent. Good God almighty.
I'm just so glad that's over with. I knew that you had to have your one...
Oh, no, see,
blurting.
Because here's the thing, is that the next time you fly, you're going to be the one coming back and doing it.
I know, I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
I feel for you, but I can see that you do look a little crazed. You look tired and overly caffeinated, is what you said.
It is, and I'm just so, I'm just one big raw nerve today. All right. I was bitter for a while, but I'm over that now. The Rick Emerson Show, AM 970, Solid State Radio, the new news hour. Straight ahead, don't go anywhere.